Gary Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Gary and Tommy.
It is time now for your final outfit for the week.
The piece de resistance.
The piece de resistance.
Wow.
Are they used pants, are they?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. So what I've done with this outfit, if you have just joined us, I have been dressing Tommy every day this week after he mocked my outfit last week. And there's been some real highs and lows during the week.
I remember that ridiculous outfit you put me in on the first day.
Yeah. That was the one that you mocked that I wore.
That was just your real clothes.
Genuinely.
Carry Tommy shirt if you want to check them all out.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm throwing that pink shirt in the bin.
Why?
It's just because now that I've seen it on you, I don't know why I ever thought it looked any good on me.
It did look good on me.
Yeah, it did.
Sweat stains.
No. Yeah,
the sweat stains, I know.
They nearly met in the middle, like pit to pit. Meet in the middle of the tit.
I do feel like, though, I'm going to bring back, I think, the item that you enjoyed wearing the most from the week. That is the bottom half of today's outfit.
The tights.
You really enjoyed them. You're pretending you didn't, but you did. And given Belle, producer Belle's, who they are, is never going to wear them again. And then I want you to go away and then put the top on with
it's
it and come back.
It's going to be nothing. The top's going to be nothing.
Go put it on and come back.
Why? I feel like I'm being objectified.
You're not being objectified at all. Go put it on. Tell us about the shirt that we've got you.
I'm back in the tights, you pervert. Yep. And now I'm wearing a white shirt that says, I'm a jerk, across the chest. Which is a joke I did many, many years ago with a friend. We ran up the steepest street in the world
Where is that?
It's in New Zealand. I've got to say Dunedin, but I might be wrong. And we ran to the top and I showed him, I said, well, I got us matching T-shirts.
At the top.
Yes. And I showed him one that said, I conquered the steepest street in the world. And then I gave him the shirt, but I'd done a little switcheroo. And he didn't realise. And so mine said, I've conquered the steepest street in the world. And his just said, I'm a jerk. And he didn't know for literally 5 hours. He was walking around and he kept wondering why people were taking photos of him.
Oh.
And he thought it was because he'd conquered the steepest street in the world.
Stop.
And people were so proud to have photos with this guy who clearly was an athlete because he'd conquered the steepest street in the world.
Well, we saw on your Instagram the other day that little story.
Yes.
And you next to that friend of yours was wearing that. And I thought, you know what? It's payback time.
Yeah,
you can
I love
be the
it.
Jerk for an afternoon.
This is now my second favourite T-shirt. I have one because Luke McGregor, dear friend, very funny comedian, made me do a sketch once where he rang me and all he said was, hey, mate, I'm doing a sketch about STDs and it's for the ABC. It needs to be informative as well. He goes, will you be an STD? And I said, of course, mate. Of course.
What STD were you?
Well, so then he quickly hung up. And because we had to wear the T-shirt with our name of our STD across it. And like Hamish Blake, Hughesy was in it, Anne Eggmans. And then I rang back and I'm like, mate, you didn't tell me which one I am. And he went,
Oh, my God. Are you gonorrhea?
I thought I wouldn't mention no one. You're the big one, buddy. I said, what? And so I just had to wear a T-shirt that just said HIV.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And I still have that T-shirt. Very hard to find an occasion to wear it too.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
I know. But it was an informative sketch.
Yeah, it was. Great.
Yes. And if you're thinking, wow, who pays for a sketch like that? You, the taxpayer.
Gary and Tommy.
Same, but backwards.
How much am I winning by, Jesse? 6-2 to the Bickmore.
-4 is what I'm winning by. Okay. 2 for a win.
All right. Song number one.
Tommy. Killers, Mr. Brightside. Okay.
Exactly how they sound.
Yeah. Song number two.
Tommy. It's
three.
Dance for me.
Two.
Tones and I, Dance Monkey.
I have to take your first answer.
Dance for me.
That's so unfair.
Hey, why do you answer with the wrong answer and then give me the right one?
But Jesse, I'm winning by -4.
Carrie, would you like to have a
mate,
guess?
Mate, I'm not getting involved. This is your fight.
So you don't want the point? Okay, that's great.
I'm just saying you're the adjudicator.
I'm
saying, would you like to guess? I already said he can't.
I know
have
it's Dance Monkey, Tones and I.
Great. Dance for me, dance for me.
That's what I said.
Yes, mate. Dance for me.
But you can't just say the wrong thing and then
Jesse counts me out so quickly and he gives you so much time. I got panicked by his counting.
How about we just call that one a nothing?
No, well,
now you're
me
getting
point.
Involved. All right, one all. Here's your. Oh, sorry, 1-0 to Tommy. Song number three. Tommy just.
It's Ricky Martin, Living La Vida Loca.
Oh, 2-0. All righty, to stay in the game, Carrie.
Carrie.
What?
It is.
Three.
Oh!
2-1.
It is.
It's Tommy? Tommy?
Oh,
it's Macklemore Thrift Shop.
Oh!
$20 in my pocket. Is that
hey,
a clean sweep?
6-3 now, bro.
Ooh, ooh, who's back? Tommy's back.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
The weekend is upon us, but not the usual fun for you this weekend.
Well,
this
no,
weekend, you're going to experience what it's actually like for a family on the weekend, just getting stuff done you got to do for the family.
What do you mean?
Do you remember how you told me you'd never done a weekly grocery shop? What's the biggest shop you've ever done?
Booze or food?
Food.
Just like whatever I need for that dinner that I'm making.
What?
Actually, I went to
you'd
make my
you'd buy a couple of dinners in one go, wouldn't you?
Why? No.
Ever done a weekly shop?
No.
Oh my God, again, you've got to come and do one of my weekly shops with me. In fact, you need to do your, my weekly shop for me. And that is what you are going to do for me
this weekend. You cut the audio off there. What I went on to say was, no, why would I do that?
Exactly why I cut it off. This weekend, you are going to take my children.
Am I?
Yep. And I'll give you my credit card because you're not going to be able to afford to pay for the weekly shop because it is a big one. It is long. I've written you a shopping list.
I don't need a list, mate.
No, because I want stuff for my family.
But doesn't the person that goes shopping, so say when you go shopping, right, don't you decide what you buy?
Yes, I do. Yes, but when anyone else goes shopping, they need to buy what I would
like. I'm a real kind of spur of the moment shopper.
Yeah, no, but unless you're going to be living my family for the next week, we don't have time for spur of the moment.
That's fun.
No, I don't want you living
with
me.
That's fun.
No.
Could be fun.
Nope.
Could be fun.
No.
You got a spare room.
I mean, if you want to get up to my children, feel free to come stay. But no, so you're going to do my shop. I've got about 100 things on the list.
100?
Yeah.
Where am I shopping?
That's a quick shop. At Coles.
100 things?
Yeah.
Addie's going to have her hands so full.
Oh, Addie is going to give you a run for your money.
This is fun. Okay.
It's fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Good. Yeah. Yep. So we're going to do that this weekend. What else you got planned?
Well, I've got to do shows for the comedy festival.
We have to move things around.
Okay.
You got a big shop to do.
Shuffle. Is there any rules?
No, just survival, really.
So you have to give me the pin to your credit card.
Well, it's, yes.
Great.
Yeah, actually, yes. Maybe I'll come and I'll pay at the end.
So when I used to go shopping with Mum, she would always let me pick something, right?
You can pick something.
I meant the kids, but sure. Thank you.
Carrie and Tommy.
We're
in the middle of a sing-along. Yes, we are.
Yeah. Do you want to kick it off?
Yeah. Let's talk about salmon, baby. Let's talk about you and the sea. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that salmon can be. Let's talk about fish. Let's talk about fish.
Take the rest of the day off, Bickmore. You are done.
Because what's going to happen when you eat salmon is you're not going to get what that song is actually about.
You don't reckon?
No.
We're arguing about salmon and it's been happening for a few days, so we thought we'd bring it on air. You don't reckon salmon is a good date meal to cook?
It is a terrible date
and
meal. If I walked into a house that smelt like salmon being cooked, I would walk back out the other room.
Why?
Other room? Other kidding? Direction.
I'm going to sit in the living room and wait for this. I feel like you may have been cooking off salmon or something. Salmon, it does not smell that much.
No, but then your breath smells fishy. Then your hands smell fishy. It's just a lot of fishiness in one night.
I just don't reckon it's even that fishy as far as fish goes.
Isn't it the least fishy of the fish?
Yeah.
It's still fishy.
I reckon, I didn't want to say this because, but I reckon when it comes to fish, you're a bit frigid.
I'm not the only one. Belle, a producer Belle, who conveniently isn't here for our salmon chat.
No, she's out eating salmon.
She's out at a wedding, I think.
No, but she wasn't saying it was a bad idea. She was saying all her girlfriends laugh because every guy cooks it for a date.
Yeah, because it's the most basic thing. You have to put it in the oven and pull it out and you're done.
Again, how long do you leave it in the oven for?
You won't. Yeah. If you cook the salmon, none of that's happening.
Yes, it is, mate.
It's not.
Salmon is...
I think you want... small bowl of spaghetti pasta is what you want on date night.
One on a date night wants spaghetti.
No. Okay, you don't want too much because then you'll be bloated.
No one wants any spaghetti.
But you want to watch it swivel around on a fork and then pull it up and then watch you just put it into your mouth.
Oh, my God.
See?
I've also seen
guys.
You eat and you never have eaten like that.
Or you want, what's another good date night
you
food?
You said before you didn't want any food. You said the kitchen's not where you want to focus your attention.
I think your exact words were, you're eating.
No, yeah.
What? No, I just why? Said that I...
I think you called me a loser. I think you went, why are you having food, you loser? If you're going to be eating one thing.
If you're on a date, neither of you actually care about the dinner.
Mate.
So why are you wasting time? Just put a little cheese platter out. No one will touch it. Everyone looks like you've made an effort.
Call me old fashioned, but I like to eat on a date.
What a gentleman.
Yeah, I know. I never thought you'd be the sleazy one out of me and you. You're like, what are you eating for, mate? Just get straight to the bedroom. Go at it. Yeah. Like,
no, okay.
I thought we'd just have a nice salmon meal beforehand, get to know each other. Why are you doing that, you loser? Straight to the old workbench. You don't even want them to know if you've got a kitchen in the house.
The funniest thing is I serve salmon like 3 times a week in our
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Our next guest has a brand new cookbook called The Slow Cook. Ooh. She's a superstar. Please welcome Justine Schofield.
Hi, guys. I've missed you.
Oh, we've missed you. Did you name this book after me?
I did. Well, after our last conversation, I thought, I better call up just to make sure that the book's actually got there in time for you, Tommy.
Yes, and I haven't been stitched up by Carrie writing a personalised message in it again.
Oh, it was so fun, that. It was so fun, that short period where you thought that Justine had the hots for you.
Just written me a personalised message. I showed everyone in my life. I sent my mum photos of it.
Do you know, Justine, that Tommy's been cooking a bit lately? Actually, in fact, he's cooked twice, but now he's a hero. But we should, you know what we should do? We should ask Justine her thoughts on your salmon issue.
Oh, yes. Carrie thinks making someone salmon for a date is a bad idea. Justine, what are your thoughts?
Oh, what's wrong with salmon? If you cook
just
it right,
stinky.
Nelly? No, not at all. Nice fresh salmon should taste and smell like the sea. It shouldn't be fishy at all. So go to a good fishmonger. No, Tommy, I'm going to, when you do get my book, or if you do have my book, I've actually put little post-it notes on each page of the recipes I think are sexy recipes to give to, you know, on date night. I think they may work for you.
I think that's my thing about the salmon as well. Justine, it's not a sexy dish.
Why not?
It's just not.
Carrie, what if you put it in like
salmon?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Don't make a slab of salmon. Just the word slab doesn't sound too nice. If you put it in like a, you know, silky, velvety cream sauce, fantastic. That's
if
sexy.
You're there narrating it during it, it's sexy. Yeah, but I just don't know.
As soon as silky and stuff came
velvety.
Out, I forgot we were even talking about cooking.
Are there certain meals, if you were going to impress a guy, Justine, what would you choose? What would be your go-to dish?
Well, definitely not tofu, but, you know, a good steak or, you know, beef cheeks, slow-cooked beef cheeks. Going into winter, you've got to make sure that you cook something that suits the season. So winter for me, slow-cooked meat. You know what always gets, well, everyone will love this, slow-cooked lamb. And as soon as you pull away the meat from the bone and it just is meltingly tender, people love that stuff. That's what you've got to do. And it's so easy to do, so easy to do.
Justine, obviously you're an amazing cook. Have you ever had it go completely tits up, though?
How long have you got? Always. No, it happens sometimes, but I don't want people to know that. No, of course, because cooking's trial and error, right? Like, I saw your chicken the other day you put on Instagram. I thought
his
I was
miso-glazed
so
chicken.
Yeah.
Jeez. But that was a Donna Hay recipe, so the next one has to be one of mine,
ooh,
please.
Ouch.
Okay. Done.
Yes. I mean, it is a bit disappointing Donna. You went with Donna and you didn't go with Justine.
I was waiting for the new book.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. This is a slow-cooked book, though. You're going to have to set aside a whole weekend for you.
Talk us through, Justine, does this mean I need to start at the start of the day or...
You do need to start.
Sorry, I have not sounded more simple ever. Justine, how slow is slow?
I was always a bit worried about the name of my book, The Slow Cook, but I'm going to get that quite a lot, aren't I? Look, you know what? With slow cooking, it's all about basic cooking because that's what people want. Start at the beginning of the day, get the cooking out of the way, and that's what slow cooking is. Then the rest of the afternoon, you make your hair look good, you know, make sure you're trimmed, you've ironed your T-shirt, maybe your undies, everyone's good to go.
There is no way he's ironing his T-shirt and definitely not his undies, Justine. You have such high expectations. Gosh, how she sees you is not how the world sees
very
you.
Different, isn't it? Justine, I have a fun rule that when I start cooking, I'm allowed to start drinking. If I'm slow cooking and I start at like 9 in the morning, can I start drinking then?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. Just wait. Just hold off until you do the pièce de résistance right at the end when you garnish that slow cooked lamb shoulder. Yum. Bring out the red wine then.
Yeah, pop the bottle then. I can see here what I think you should make your first recipe. One pot chicken parma.
Great.
That's right up your alley.
Is that yes?
And have a guy around and he'll enjoy that. Yeah.
and if he loves that, I'll say, wait till you see the trimming I've done. Justine Schofield's new book is called The Slow Cook. It lands in stores from Tuesday, the 30th of March. It's always a pleasure. Thanks, Justine.
Thanks, Justine.
Thanks, guys.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Time to hear from the sad member of our team.
Oh, the one that's
bad. I'm bad at sad. I'm good at sex.
That one.
That's our executive producer, Sonda, who you once described as a featureless woman.
Okay.
How funny that what I'm about to talk about is sex again.
Is it?
I'm
and
obsessed.
Can we just stop using that? I described her as featureless.
You did.
It was there. Were context was Sonda. Actually complimentary, and you make it sound negative.
No, you didn't. You said, how can I draw you? You're featureless.
No, because I was talking about drawing people with gaps in their teeth and ridiculously hurtful. Big ears, and I said Sonda doesn't have any of those things.
No, that's not what Sonda.
Yeah, I've updated my profile on Instagram to say featureless.
Do we want to talk about the hurtful things that have been said between
us? Is this when you called?
Is this what we're going to? Are we going to do this?
Are we ever going to talk about that?
No, we're not. Okay, no. I'm just going to take that to my grave. My sobbing.
You know what that is, though, Sonda? That's a feature.
Touch my palm if you want to touch sweat.
Is it made you sweaty?
Oh, it's
saying,
actually
talking
wet.
Talking about that thing.
Yeah, because it really hurt me when you said that.
Oh, Jessie, I think we should leave.
Did I though?
Okay, let's. We're not talking.
We're not
about
talking
this
about.
Now.
Okay.
So what do you?
Tears are a feature.
What are you here to talk about?
what are you here to do?
I've realised that Belle and I, who are both producers on this great show, have something else in common.
Oh, yeah?
Which is we both tried to get an article published by Mamma Mia, the website.
Oh.
Because they have an open call, if you have something interesting to say, to submit a story.
Oh, I often read those articles.
Yes. And if you're good enough, you get published. And if you're bad, you never, ever hear from them at all.
Right.
There's no acknowledgement. And Belle and I both sent something in that got completely unacknowledged.
Oh, my God. Not even a reply.
No, just a real, no, that's into the ether and you're never going to hear back. But I really want to find you the story because I know Tommy enjoys it when I get really sad and vulnerable.
What did you write about?
No, it's just because, to be fair to me, you put yourself in the situation and then you get into it and you panic and go, why am I doing this?
And then you like ask for us to stop rolling. Yeah, it's like, this is your idea.
Yeah, mate, we're live on air. And you've just handed us, it was your love letters last time.
Yeah.
And then you're like, how funny is this guy? And I started reading it. You're like, no!
A really sad poem I wrote where I was really exposed.
It's funny that just some stuff's not right for radio, is it?
No, that was great radio content. I can't remember what the first line was.
I feel like I'm falling apart. I'll never forget it. That's making me sweat too. You guys make me so nervous. So
what was this article about?
The story that I wrote, and I'm really glad it never got published because I would have been absolutely destroyed, was about my terrible struggle to get pregnant.
So when did you write this?
I wrote it between the first time we had sex and didn't get pregnant and the second time we had sex.
Okay,
when
so
we
you
did
wrote
get pregnant.
And you did on the second time.
Hold on. So you wrote an article after you tried once and you didn't get pregnant.
Yep.
What were the details?
Yeah, what
would
you write about?
Yeah.
It was just how.
Just what you had to eat that day, your one day of struggle.
It was just how heartbreaking it was and how hard my life was. And it finished with how sex had become a chore and he should just in his.
Oh my God.
I mean, I feel bad for the people in the car. They're not getting these act outs that we're getting here.
Oh, wow.
Fun game of charades.
I can understand, though, how you were feeling in that moment of writing it. Because when you do set upon the idea that you're going to have a kid and it doesn't happen straight away. But the fear you then have is it might never happen. Yes. This is just going to be the start of a long road. There's lots of things that may not seem rational, but they're exactly how you feel.
Most people
just don't pen the letter and submit it to Mamma Mia, and then when they get pregnant the next month, those feelings go away.
Was it a month in between?
Yeah. Because you ovulate every month. I don't know if you know about
menstruation. I'm still. No.
Okay. Hey, if I can find this story, can we publish it on the Carrie and Tommy website?
Absolutely.
We can publish it right up to the point where you go, take it down.
Yeah, I just feel like the reaction might not be that great.
You're right. And let's get rid of the mm-mm in the mm-mm up the mm-mm.
Why did you make it like a duck? What was that?
Anyway, that was a great tale. You're happy for this to stay on air now? We don't have to rewind. Great.
It didn't go anywhere, sorry. Carrie and
Tommy. So I've been doing a little baking this morning.
Carrie started baking cakes.
In fact, the thing I made, I'm not even sure why I made it.
Yes.
I saw on some sheet of paper that I was to go make something.
What I think's
happened is I may have said I'd make you something,
yeah,
but I don't really know why I've made it.
I think I know what it is.
Okay, what is it?
Have you made me Cornetto tips?
Yes, I have.
I can't remember why either. No, I can. No, I can. Because they started making them as a product. Like, you can just buy them.
So the Cornetto cone.
Yes, how it goes to chocolate at the bottom. They've started making just that bit. So you can buy a packet of cold Cornetto tips. And I just said this offhand. I was like on my computer. I was like, oh, you can buy Cornetto tips. And you just went, I'll make them for you.
Is that what happened?
That's literally the whole thing.
Because I spent my morning making Cornetto tips.
Yes.
And the kids were like, oh, my God, these are amazing. I'm like, don't touch. They're for Tommy.
Have you got a little production there for us, Jesse?
Just the...
Sorry. No, we don't have the right one yet.
That's good. Just the tip.
Yeah, that
just
was good.
Just the Cornetto tip. Yeah. Only they're not cold. Do they need to be...
No, I'll have them warm, mate.
They're not meant to have ice cream in them, are they?
No, that's a Cornetto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you make me a Cornetto?
Anyway, I made you one with just the chocolate on at the very bottom in the inside.
Yes.
But some I coated with chocolate on the outside.
Is that a thing?
And dipped. Well, no, I just was having fun. But dipped it in sprinkles.
You might have made it. Thank you. You've made a double Cornetto tip.
Yeah. Anyway, and I didn't have dark chocolate, so I've only got white chocolate. Can you get white chocolate?
Are they dark chocolate in Cornettos?
They're just milk chocolate, aren't they?
These are white.
Wow. That is a lot of chocolate
too
in
much?
There.
It's a
whole cone full of chocolate.
Not that much. It's the tip. So what do you do? You just...
I assume you eat them.
Do you just eat the tip?
They're not weapons that they're selling to
they
kids.
They could be.
I know these ones could. They're rock hard. You could stab someone with that.
I could also make them as like a Madonna bra.
Oh, Madonna bra. That's a romantic idea for a clothing line. Edible.
Oh my God! And
Cornetto
you kiss
cones.
And then you eat off the
Cornettos.
Nibble on the Cornetto tips.
Cornettos. That's so good. Yeah, I started to think: could you even wear them for? Like breastfeeding. No, because they're like dairy.
That could end badly. Chomp.
Ow! I haven't put it on yet. Well, why does it taste chocolatey? We've all got hobbies. Okay, I've broken my teeth.
Well, it is hard chocolate.
I know.
Bite. Chew.
Sorry, mate.
Use your mouth.
I feel like, again, we're in the bedroom. And it's being really aggressive. Okay.
You're not getting in. You're not enjoying it
at all. I am. Again. These are delicious.
This is an insight into me in the bedroom. Oh, come on. Hurry up. You're not enjoying it enough.
Put that stuff on. Enjoy it more. Tell your face if that's how you feel. What do you mean it's over?
Try the other one now.
Okay, this is... whatever spices up your life.
Yeah. Right. That one's got it on the outside as well.
Oh, your sprinkles one.
Yeah, sprinkles on the outside.
Wow, that's a lot. I am diabetic now. Because these are great.
Are they good?
They're delicious.
So are they a good business idea from Cornetto?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well done, Cornetto, but well done, Carrie Bickmore. I'm so scared. I'm satisfied, but I'm terrified.
Back in the bedroom again. Yeah.
Carrie and Tommy.
There is news happening. Not here in Australia, somewhere else in the world.
We interrupt this broadcast with breaking news.
Here is the latest news.
The latest news.
News.
From across the Dutch.
The French edition.
Thomas here. Carrie, can you give us your French accent?
Oui, oui.
Can you say anything more than that?
Au revoir, les enfants.
Oh, bye, kids. What a way to tell them.
All my children or
kids?
Something.
Yeah.
I think it was a very sad movie. That's what I remember it from. Au revoir, les enfants.
Is that from a...
That was the name of a movie.
And was the whole movie in French?
No, I don't think
so. They just chose to say one particularly hurtful thing to their kids.
But it was very sad.
In a language they don't understand. No. These stupid kids don't even know where going.
No, I think it was
sad. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, in the French news, the police in France, do you know what they did, Big Moore?
You're not sounding very French.
What am I sounding?
What would you say that is, Jesse?
It's weird
more
European
like bad.
Coming. Yeah, now it's getting
it's Indian, but it's also a bit like Lebanese or something.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you won't believe what the cops have done in France. I've got to say,
Is that get you in?
Yeah.
Does that get you in? I wouldn't have thought so.
No, it gets me out. It gets me real out. The police found a lot of pingers, Kelly.
Oh.
Yes. Saw me 150,000, sacre bleu, $150,000, euro, francs, worth of pingers. But guess what?
What?
Oh, they were not pingers. They were Haribo lollies.
What?
Silly French police.
What happened?
They thought they were drugs, but turns out they were just lollies. And so they got this giant bag of what they thought were ecstasy tablets.
Well, they look delicious.
So they got, this is 150,000 euros worth, and actually it's just 30 bucks from the
It's a couple of bucks worth, and they had a couple.
MDMA haul.
Yes.
Yes.
And they went, it's giving me a bit of a buzz, but I think it's just a sugar high. In other French news, Kelly.
There's more French news.
There was an award ceremony, the French equivalent to the Oscars.
Ooh.
Yes. It is called the César Awards. I thought César French, but anyway, that's up to them. Corinne Maziero, you know her, you love her.
She's
a French actress. Oh. She went on stage to present the Best Costume Award, but she was wearing, guess what?
Nothing.
No, a donkey suit and tampons as earrings. And then, yes.
Show me?
Yes. That's her in the donkey suit, appeared to be covered in blood. Oh, yes, my accent's thrived again.
You know.
What was the...
Because we're going to the season awards.
Blood.
Why is she in a donkey suit?
Covered in blood.
Covered in blood. Why?
Well, to protest because the French, they have shut the cinema, and she wrote on her body, "Rends-nous l'art, Jean," which means, give us back our art, Jean.
So why has she got tampons in her ears?
I don't know. The French just love that stuff. Maybe her ears were bleeding. I don't know. And then she got naked.
Oh, she did
get
naked.
Yes, trust the French to always add a bit of nudity in. Anyway, that's all for French news. Au revoir, les enfants.
Carrie and Tommy. Woo!